Greetings from Visan Falls. I'm very, very happy to... excuse me, I don't know that I'm coughing today. I'm very happy to be back at my hermitage, where all my books are here, and I'm at my desk, you know, in a very comfortable way to give class, and I hope to spend a lot of the summer up here. So much to study, so much to write, and also living right next door to me in the old Bambini Vaban school, converted into the hermitage of Barsana Maharaj, which is very nice to get his, excuse me, very elevated and saintly association every day when I'm up here. So we'll begin on a J 235, and I'll tell you which part I'm discussing and why. We have thus established bhakti in many ways. It is referred to by names such as akinchana, free from all dependence, and atyantiki, the ultimate, and it has two divisions, vaidhi, prompted by scriptural regulations, and raganuga, prompted by spontaneous attraction. So let me put this in context. Of course, this is the Bhakti Sandarbha, the fifth of six books that Srila Jiva Goswami wrote to fully establish and categorize the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which he divided into three separate categories, which are quite inclusive of all philosophical thought. Sambandha Gyan, basically, which is epistemology and metaphysics. What is reality, and how can we, what is the evidence for it? And then there's Abhideya Gyan, which literally means the means for realizing that absolute reality, and Prayojana Gyan, which what is the goal? Basically, what is reality, how to realize it, and finally the goal, which is the experience of doing so. Reality is Krishna and Krishna's energies. He described that in the first four books of the Satsandarbhas, these six essays or books on the science of devotional service. The fifth book, this is the fifth book, which is Bhakti Sandarbha, which is the Abhideya, the means of realizing the absolute reality. And the sixth book is Priti Sandarbha, which is, Priti means love, love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of realizing the absolute reality, is to establish and experience our relationship with that absolute reality. So the first four books describe Sambandha Gyan. And the first book, Tattva Sandarbha, establishes the pramana, or the means, the evidence. On what basis is he going to establish these truths of devotional service? And he makes an elaborate argument and concludes that the highest pramana is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So all the truths established by Jiva Goswami in the Satsandarbhas will, the evidence for those truths that he will present is the Bhagavatam. So it basically will reference everything mostly from the Bhagavatam. And then the second book is the Bhagavat Sandarbha. He describes the different aspects of the absolute truth and establishes through the Bhagavatam that the Bhagavan is the most complete manifestation of the Absolute Reality. Of course, there's one Absolute Reality. There's not a Bhagavan and a Paramatma and a Brahman. There's not three separate things. There's one thing which can be understood and viewed in three different ways. But the fullest view, the fullest perception is Bhagavan. Just like the example is given of seeing a mountain from a distance. You may see it as undifferentiated mass. You come close, you may see the trees and forests. You go in there, you'll see there's actually people and villages living there. So it's not viewing three different things. It's viewing one thing from three different perspectives. But the highest and most complete perspective is when you go into the mountain, you see actually that there's people, etc., and personalities and a life. So Bhagavan is the most, and he establishes this on the basis of the Bhagavatam. And then there's the Paramatma Sandarbha, where he describes what is God's interaction and relationship with this world. And finally, then there the first four Sandarbhas that describe some Bandhagyan, or description of what exists, what is reality, is Krishna Sandarbha, which establishes that of all the manifestations of Bhagavan, the most full and original is Krishna. And now this is the fifth Sandarbha. Now what is the means of realizing that? And the means of realizing that is bhakti. And let me see if mine is not working so well today, maybe the traveling, but we'll get there. So the first part of the Bhakti Sandarbha is he establishes that bhakti is the abhideya. Bhakti is the best means of realizing the Absolute Reality. And he establishes that through the Bhagavatam. And it's very, very beautiful because he shows how every speaker in the Bhagavatam comes to the conclusion that the ultimate duty, the ultimate means of realizing the Absolute Truth is bhakti. It's not always evident. Sometimes the Bhagavatam appears to present Vanashram, sometimes it appears to present the Gyan, so many subjects, but he shows very, very carefully. He goes through every speaker in the Bhagavatam and shows that that their ultimate conclusion is that bhakti is the abhideya, or means of realizing the Absolute Reality. And when I studied the Bhakti Sandarbha initially, it was a great... I remember I was in my room in Vrindavan, that wonderful little room on the roof, which we used to call the Japa Kutir, and I can see right now in that room how I would look outside my window and see across the fields of Prabhupada's samadhi, which was quite an inspiration. And I remember that I would study the Bhagavatam through the Sandarbhas. So I would see how Jiva Goswami would present a particular speaker and how his conclusion was bhakti, and then I would go to the Bhagavatam and read all the text and see how it was so nice to study the text from the conclusion. It would give relevance to the rest of the text and how clearly that conclusion actually is presented. Then he even goes and just says, okay, what did all the students of the Bhagavatam learn? So he goes through all the students from the sages of Namasharanya, Shonaka Rishi, Maharaj Prickett, whatever the students were, what did they learn? And he shows how their conclusion was also bhakti. So in this way, he shows that bhakti, through the evidence of the Bhagavatam, that bhakti is the means of realizing the Absolute Truth. Then there was a discussion. I'm going quickly to the text today. You'll have to give me 1 minute right now. somehow the heat is really up in the house and I have to take off my sweater. One second, excuse me. Then he presents how the Bhagavatam clearly shows what is pure devotional service. There's karma mishra bhakti, devotional service mixed with fruit of activity. There's jnana mishra bhakti, devotional service mixed with philosophical analysis and the performance of austerities. And then there's pure devotional service. And the Bhagavatam clearly distinguishes what is pure devotional service. In fact, this is a very, very important subject matter, because if you don't have a clear understanding what is pure devotional service, then in the name of pure devotional service, you may be performing karma mishra bhakti or jnana mishra bhakti. In fact, later when Jiva Goswami is discussing one of the verses he gives to show how you realize the absolute truth by bhakti, he uses the phrase munya. Munya means thoughtful, that to understand bhakti you have to be thoughtful. And in explaining what thoughtful means, it means that one must have his doubts cleared. And he specifically says in relation, that's the duty of a spiritual master, that you raise your doubts so that you'll understand what is pure devotional service. And if you don't raise your doubts and you don't get a clear conception, due to material conditioning, even when you hear about executing pure devotional service, you may understand it as karma, you may understand it as jnana. He says by approaching a spiritual master and getting one's doubts cleared, one of the purposes is so that one will have a clear conception of an idea of pure devotional service without any misconception. Now we come up, so he describes that, and he describes his different types of bhakti, and he describes three types: arope siddha bhakti, sangha siddha bhakti, and sarup siddha bhakti. Arope siddha bhakti means that it's basically, arope means imposed. The activity is not bhakti. The activity is actually fruitive. But bhakti is imposed by giving the results of that activity to Krishna. So although the activity may be done in a fruitive or selfish way, or, well, it may have in its roots some personal desire, not just for the pleasure of Krishna. But even though the activity may be karma, then bhakti, by giving the results to Krishna, then bhakti becomes imposed. So that's called arope siddha bhakti. And then he describes sangha siddha bhakti. Sangha siddha bhakti means that the activity is not fruitive. It may be purificatory or spiritual, but it's still not bhakti. For example, celibacy. Celibacy is not bhakti. It's not devotion, but it's not karma either. So it describes that by association with bhakti, these activities may become bhakti. And for example, one may join a brahmachari ashram, and he one of his duties is to be celibate, and he does it in relationship to the instructions and service of the spiritual master. So though celibacy is not within itself a devotional activity, by the association of devotion, it becomes a devotional activity. And then he describes what's called sarup Siddha Bhakti. That's an activity which is, what is it? How would I put it? Actually, I'm going to look it up because I know what it means, but they gave it a very good definition of it. Anyway, Sarup Siddha Bhakti means that it's the activity itself is composed of devotion. For example, chanting the holy name, hearing about Krishna. The activity itself is a devotional activity. And then he describes, and then that's what we get here, that established that real bhakti is done when it is free from any motive, etc. That's called pure devotional service. When the intention of the activity in itself is the pleasure of Krishna. And now we're up to this section where he says, we have thus established bhakti in many different ways, and it's referred, real bhakti is akinchana, and this type of bhakti, pure devotional service, where the intention of the activity is the pleasure of Krishna, has two divisions, vaidhi, prompted by scriptural regulations, and raganuga, prompted by spontaneous attraction. So these are the two divisions of pure devotional service. And the difference between them, it is what inspires us to take to the service of Krishna, whether it is an obligation or duty that we take to the service and pleasure of Krishna because it's a scriptural injunction, and that we understand that this is the right thing because it is the found in scripture, the order of guru, or it's prompted by our natural attraction. So these are the two types of pure devotional service. There's like a little bit of coming attraction. So what's going to happen now is Vaidhi Bhakti is going to be described, and then Raganuga Bhakti is going to be described. And within the description of Vaidhi Bhakti, it will be a quite elaborate description of the nine of the different practices, not only the different practices of devotional service, but it'll begin with Sharanagata, surrender, then Then Sadhu Sangha, association with the devotees, then hearing, chanting, etc. It's a very, very elaborate description. And then there'll be a description of Raganuga Bhakti. So I thought to actually discuss these particular items will be a nice subject matter for us to discuss. Of course, within that is kirtan, which is chanting, especially Nam Kirtan. So Nam Tattva, the truth of Nam, will also be explained. So we'll go on. So Vaidhi Bhakti is impelled by the injunctions of the scriptures. Scriptural injunctions are of two types. As a cause for engagement in devotion, and as a source of knowledge of what is to be done. In other words, is impelled by the injunction. So there's two types of injunctions. One injunction is the injunction you should take to devotional service. And another type of injunction is this is how you practice it. So these are the two types of scriptural injunctions, performing devotional service by the injunctions. You should take to it, and there's rules. You should take the devotional service, and this is how it is practiced. Of course, ultimately, it's going to be described that real devotion is raganuga. Real devotion is when it's impelled by our natural attraction. Because when an activity is impelled by natural attraction, one is more absorbed. And advancement in spiritual life is our, or the purificatory power of a spiritual activity depends on our absorption in it, in the bhakti path. Because absorption in Krishna awakens our natural love or attachment for Krishna. It's very, very natural. When you focus or absorb in an object which you have a natural relationship with, then attraction or devotion comes from the heart. And the process of bhakti is the process of awakening our love or devotion for Krishna. Of course, you also remain focused in devotional service by vaidhi bhakti. You can remain focused in an object in two ways. One, because by the power of your determination and intelligence, you understand that you should focus your consciousness on something. And another way is that you're naturally attracted to something. Of course, the natural attraction is a greater absorption. But until one comes to that platform of spontaneous attraction, one's absorption in spiritual life will be most effectively inspired by his understanding or by his adherence to a rule to do so. Because if you prematurely try to go become absorbed simply by the heart before there is a natural attraction, then you'll only be absorbed as much as you'll only be absorbed to the level of your natural attraction. And you'll be absorbed in other things to the level of your attraction in other things. So until one comes to the platform of spontaneous attraction, then one has to execute, one has to take to bhakti based on his adherence to different regulations and rules that engage him in bhakti. Anyway, I can go on further, but I'm going to go on here. So he first gives a verse now that describes a particular injunction that tells you to take to it, tells you what to do, and the other type of injunction tells you how to do it. So here's a typical injunction of Scripture that we should follow. And it says, it's a famous verse, Tasmad ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatimpati shotavya kirti tavyascha. It says, therefore, with resolute attention, one should continuously hear about, glorify, meditate on, and worship the Supreme Lord Krishna, the guardian of his devotees. So you read this, and you become inspired. Yes. The Shastra says, this is the best thing for me to do, therefore I will do it. We hear it and we read the Shastra. Yes. But resolute, I have faith in Shastra. Shastra is saying, and you're reading it, and then you become inspired. Yes. I should. So the inspiration is the faith that you have in the Shastra, the faith you have in the Guru. And the Guru says this, the teacher says this. And you become inspired. Yes, this is what I should do. It's the best thing. I have faith in it. Faith means to trust in something sublime. Yes, the guru is saying it, the teacher is saying it. Yes, I should engage in devotional service. The second type of injunction regards devotional activities, such as worship the deity and observance of vows. So there's a statement from Lord Krishna, and this is how to do it. And he says, this is in the 11th canto, 27th chapter, it says, "One who worships me according to the injunctions already mentioned attains bhakti yoga, and by performing bhakti yoga without motive, one attains me directly." So basically, it says, "One who worships me according to the injunctions already mentioned." And it'll be a verse. It says, "This is how you should worship. This is how you should worship me. And if you perform these particular activities, then you come to pure devotional service." The word natapakshena, qualifying devotion, means without motive. And how will one attain this unmotivated devotion? This is stated in the second line of the verse. By worshiping me according to the injunctions already mentioned. The injunctions referred to are described early in the same chapter in these two verses. The main chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam that describes the process of deity worship is this 27th chapter. If you're worshiping a deity and you want to understand elaborately what is the process of the philosophy and process of worshiping the deity, then the 11th canto, the 27th chapter. So here it says, that the result is of performing devotional service according to these injunctions, according to these rules, etc., is that you'll come, your heart will be purified, and you'll come to performing bhakti without motive, and when you perform bhakti without motive, then you'll attain the Supreme Lord directly. And he said, by these injunctions that are mentioned earlier, so, and then he quotes a verse. What are the injunctions mentioned earlier? It says, "Hear from me how a person should worship me with faith and devotion after first attaining the status of being twice born by following scriptural injunctions appropriate for his or her level of qualification. One should worship me as one's teacher with devotion and free from duplicity." That means without cheating. In other words, you're worshiping not for any motive. You're worshiping for the pleasure of Krishna. Actually, bhakti means sincerity. Bhakti means that you're trying to please Krishna, and your acts are for the pleasure of Krishna, and you don't have any other motive. You're not performing devotional service for any other purpose than for the pleasure of Krishna and your own purification. So one should worship me as a teacher with devotion and free from duplicity. Thus, with appropriate paraphernalia, one should worship me in the form of the deity, in the land cleared for sacrifice, in the fire, in the sun, in water, in one's own heart, or in one who is twice born. In other words, you should first worship me in the deity, if not the deity, then in the land for sacrifice, if not that, in the fire, in the sun. In other words, there's many ways of worshiping Krishna. So this is also Vaidhi Bhakti injunction. And appropriate to his own level of qualification, that refers to Vanashram. The status of being twice. It says, after first attaining the status of being twice born. In Vanashram, that meant a Brahmin at 8 years old, and a Kshatriya at 11, and a Vaishya at 12, etc. Okay, let's somehow or other go on here. I'm just, I'll get the idea how this type of class should go. Injunctions regarding the observance of vows such as Ekadasi or fasting on the 11th day of the moon and Janmashtami or fasting on the appearance day, Lord, would be understood in the same way as injunctions regarding the worship of the Lord. So basically, he's saying that this is also how to perform devotional service, and there's also injunctions like this, which are part of Vaidhi Bhakti, which practices are to be done in devotion, the order, the practices are to be done, what is to be done, what is not to be done, exactly. Now he says, now that he just basically described what is Vaidhi Bhakti, he said there are various divisions of Vaidhi Bhakti. And this is what we're going to be discussing in the next week, including surrender, Sharanagati, service to the wise, that's Sadhu Sangha, hearing, Shravanam, singing, Kirtanam, and other similar acts of devotion. It is understood from the scripture that these divisions of bhakti, whether performed all together or in combinations of two or three, are instrumental in achieving the goal of devotion. So you can perform Ekanga Bhakti, that means one aspect of bhakti, and it can lead you to the highest perfection, or you can perform Anekanga Bhakti, not one, but many, many, many items. And generally it means one item that you concentrate on more than another, or you can perform many. And there's actually a nice argument I read in terms of somehow or other people have to mute their phone because we could hear you on the other side, and especially this is your breathing and everything else. And this is I think you pressed number 6 because this is actually a little bit of a deep text and I have to have complete concentration here. Okay. A very nice argument, not argument, but description how kirtan, Ekanga Bhakti, that's actually comes from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Chaitanya, quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Ekanga Bhakti, just kirtan alone, can bring you to the lotus feet of Krishna, the highest. Anyway. First, let us examine Sharanagati, or surrender. That means taking refuge in Krishna. And it's not possible to begin bhakti. This is actually the doorway to bhakti, because it's not possible to begin bhakti with an independent means. So one has to surrender first. So Vaidhi Bhakti begins with Sharanagati. What's going on there? I don't know. Last couple of months, someone's come on where we hear their whole home. But anyway. So you can't serve Krishna with an independent mind. We all experience that if you want to serve Krishna, you have to. It means not only seek his desire, but have a sense in the heart that in doing so, but in doing so, I have shelter. That's where my problems are solved. My problems are solved in surrender or taking shelter of Krishna, in taking refuge in his will, in his desire. It's just like a son, where he's independent of the father, and the father has certain desires for him. He's in a family. He's not independent. you know, he's within the family, he's within the authority of his father, and there's a certain rules within that family, etc. And then he goes outside, and he's independent on his own, and then he suffers, and then he decides that yes, I cannot be independent of my father, but he also feels that that dependence on his father is shelter. That's where his needs are met. That's where his satisfaction lies, and we feel, and that's what it means to surrender to Krishna. That we're independent of his desire, we're following our own lust, we're following our own greed, and our own senses, our own mind, and then we have a sense or an understanding that to surrender to Krishna, to surrender to his will, to surrender to his desire, that's full shelter, that's deathlessness, if that's our main problem, and generally the root of all problems is the fear of death, that's eternality, that's love, that's my heart, that fills everything, that's my shelter. Bhurijan Prabhu sometimes, it's interesting. Whenever I come to him, he generally has like a kind of a challenging question to test me. But he does that with everyone. You know, and I think one question I can ask it to you, when you have a problem, and just think of when the world has really gone strongly against your will, and that's what generally what our suffering is. Our suffering is when our desires are not fulfilled. And I describe calamity as when the world is rapidly going against our will. So we all have our little calamities. We all see that because we're not the controller. That's not our position. There is a controller, and he's moving for his will, which is, as we're part of God, it's ultimately best for us also, although we may not understand it at the moment. So when you have some real difficulty, sometimes I'm just thinking of problems that people told me recently, financial problems, relational problems, but heavy things, you know, financial, losing money. My friend Jan, my best friend from high school, he's actually still my best friend in many ways, very good soul, you know, and he's a lawyer and his business is going under. So much anxiety. You know, and you know, he has two beautiful children and a very nice house and in a suburban neighborhood. Everything is being threatened. And then, someone, relational problems, you know, divorce, husband, wife, leaving, so many problems. Then someone with disease, except, so when you have your problem, where do you go for shelter? Do you sit in front of the TV? Is it sex life? Is it sleep? where do you actually feel that you'll be okay? Is it in surrender to Krishna? Is it in the will of Krishna that you actually feel? Is it actually really the love of Krishna? That I serve Krishna with heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I always quote that verse, this temporary material world is full of suffering. Take shelter of Krishna. Nama Shraya as your only business. Take shelter of the holy name of Krishna as your only business. Is Nam your Ashraya? I remember that in my period of crisis, which seemed to be so prolonged, and sometimes it would get heavier. And I would just remember sitting in kirtan with chanting with Sharanagata, chanting with that faith. And what's that faith? Problem is solved. Problem is solved. I have the holy name, and I'm taking shelter of the holy name. Problem is solved. That is my faith. I'm chanting the holy name of Krishna. What is lacking? What is lacking? What is the problem? Shrutakirti wrote that book, What is the Difficulty, about Prabhupada being Prabhupada. So what is the problem? I have the holy name of Krishna. What is the problem? And we should chant. Actually, one method of chanting the holy mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is to chant with faith. Charanagata means faith. Bhakti means faith. And what is that faith? The faith is this is my shelter, where I repose my love in Krishna, who is a worthy object of love. Yes, this is my shelter. So I'm not going to be able to read everything I could see in this particular context, but so he describes, and he gives a verse, what does that Sharanagata mean, from Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharmam prityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo. Forsake all your duties and take exclusive refuge in me alone. I shall absolve you. Do not worry. Ma suchaha, do not worry. Take refuge in Krishna, and you can give up everything else. That's Sharanagata. That it's Krishna and service to Krishna, which is your shelter. I'll tell you one interesting a story. I had a hard time having that faith. I first met devotees in 1970, and I just perceived that if I joined the Krishna, I had some faith, but I perceived if I joined the Krishna consciousness movement, there'd be so much hellish opposition from my parents and my family that I actually delayed doing so. And this went on for 4 years. And I was kind of like a closet devotee. And then in 1974, I went to California, and was nice. I did some service, I met devotees, and then I was in Dallas, and some of you know this story, but it'll show you what Sharanagata is, that giving up of independence, and that faith. That faith that, yes, I trust this. This is where I'll be okay. In the surrender to the will of Krishna, I will be okay. My heart will be filled with love. I'll be fully sheltered and fully maintained, fully protected. That's my shelter. And that's where bhakti begins. So I remember I got some service. It was the Gurukul there, and it was hardly anything there, and they asked me to paint one classroom. And I painted one classroom, and then all of a sudden we heard Prabhupada was coming. And then they said that Prabhupada would be giving out sweets to everyone. There's about 140 people. And they said all the devotees should come. And honestly speaking, at that time, there was no congregation. Devotee men in the temple. And when you preach to someone, you preach to him to join the temple. He doesn't join the temple, he's not a devotee. It was like a clear line. There was no congregation. And I didn't think I was a devotee, because they said all devotees. They had such a rigid thing. And I had a mustache at that time. And then someone said, no, you could also come upstairs. So I was on that line waiting to come into Prabhupada's room to get a suite. And you'd come into his room, and he'd give you two rasgullas, and then you'd go out this other door. Now, I was 4 years, and I really wanted to surrender, but I didn't have that faith. And then I started to chant in my mind this verse, because I was already studying Shastra, Sarva Dharman Prityaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo, Moksayasyami Ma. Masuchaha, Masuchaha. It says, don't worry, don't worry. But I was worried. Don't worry. Surrender to Krishna. Give up your independence. Surrender to Krishna's will. Don't worry. It'll be sublime. It's trust. Have faith. And I was just praying, Masuchaha, Masuchaha, Masuchaha. Don't worry, don't worry. And it's a fact. When I got those rasgullas from Prabhupada, and I bit into them, the faith came completely. And I joined the temple. I went right downstairs. I shaved up. I joined the temple after 4 years. But Masu Jihad, don't worry, this is sheltered. So there's six symptoms of one who has this sense of belonging to the Lord. There's six symptoms of that. And they're going to be described with references to the Bhagavatam. Well, I don't have that much more time, but I'll just, basically, the six symptoms are, there's a famous verse, and it's going to be analyzed. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjana. It means when you have that sense of belonging to the Lord, then you make a vow, I will do what's favorable for the pleasure and service of Krishna. That's a symptom of of Sharanagata, entering into bhakti, and that trust and faith. Yes, I will, what's favorable for Krishna is best. Pratikulyasya varjanam, what's unfavorable for Krishna, I will give up, and that's best to do. Raksha yasyati vishvaso, and I have firm faith that in doing so, in giving myself to Krishna, I am protected. Goptritve varanam tata, and he is my guardian. Fully. He is my guardian. Under his shelter, I am completely protected. He's maintaining me. And therefore, if I take shelter of his service, then everything is maintained. I'm confident. And then Atma Nikshepa, and then submission of the self. I shall act without false ego. I shall act as directed by the Supreme Lord. Whatever he wants, I will do. And finally, karpanya and humility. I have confidence in this humble position. There's no one more merciful than you. There's no one more deplorable than me. I'm satisfied. And these are the six symptoms of faith or Sharanagata. Now, we don't have time. I guess it took me time to get into the text, but it's very, very interesting, the definitions and the... I don't know what that sound is. It comes. It sounds like some lion roaring. But... these definitions, they're very, very interesting. But he says a very interesting thing. These six items are divided into the Anga and Angi. Angi means the whole, and Anga means the limbs of the part. So the Angi is this Gotritve Varnam. You accept the Lord as one's guardian. And that's it. Accepting the Lord as one's guardian is the main, and the other five are the limbs. They're supportive of that. And the reason is that the concept of selecting someone as my guardian or shelter or protector is synonymous with the word Sharanagati, approaching one for shelter. The other five items are parts. They're assistants to this principle. So this is how you have to enter bhakti. This is the beginning of it. To have that faith that by taking shelter of the service of Krishna, then I have shelter. I have complete refuge. Let me just end with some references about it. It says, this is an example of Sharanagata. Terrified of the serpent of death and fleeing to every corner of the universe, a mortal is unable to find a single place free from fear. But having reached your lotus feet by the will of providence, he rests in peace. O primeval Lord, because even death withdraws from him. The death, we're so afraid of death. We want shelter, we want freedom from death. Just see, just look in your consciousness right now. How much are you fearful of death? How much is that your problem? And where will you go for shelter? Well, when you reach the lotus feet of Krishna, you're completely sheltered even from death. Here's another example. Therefore, O Uddhava, this is from 11th canto, abandoning all ordinances of Shruti and Smriti, all prescribed and forbidden action, all that is unworthy of studying, along with everything already studied, taking refuge in me alone with your entire being, because I am the soul of all embodied being, you will attain fearlessness. From me alone you can attain that. So this is an example of Sharanagat. It's the beginning of bhakti, to take shelter, refuge of Krishna, with that full confidence that my needs are now met, my problems are now solved. And we should chant in this mood of Sharanagata. We can actually think of this, the six symptoms when we're chanting. We can think, you know, let me do what's favorable to you. Let me reject what's unfavorable to you. With this holy name on my tongue, I am protected. You are my guardian. Whatever your direction is, I'm accepting completely as myself. I'm happy with this humble position. Okay, that's a little bit of a start, but the real bhakti sandarbha you'll see is when we get into how it gives these items and the different references, and this was just an introduction today. So are there any questions? As usual, I speak over time and I don't leave time for classes because it takes so long to kind of get going. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Gail, Hare Krishna. Did you get my answer to your question?
Oh, I didn't go on the computer today.
Well, I answered your question about Vatsalya Ras, but go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get it a little clearer in my mind. Let's see. This Bhakti Sandarbha, which describes how to attain the goal.
It describes bhakti.
Bhakti
is the means, and therefore it's a complete elaborate exposition on every aspect of bhakti.
And so the way this Sharanagati ties in
is that it's come to the point of explaining the variety, different types of devotional service. It wants to show that bhakti, that pure bhakti is the Abhideya. So it goes through the Bhagavatam. It's very interesting, and it shows times where it discusses this mixed devotional service, where it discusses karma of Mishra Bhakti, where it discusses Jnana Mishra Bhakti. But it does it in such a way where it shows that those sections are only to come to the recommendation of pure devotional service. You know, for example, there's sections that describe Jnana Mishra Bhakti. What is Jnana Mishra Bhakti? Jnana Mishra Bhakti is when verses like Brahma Bhuta Pasanatma Nasochati Nakanchati Sama Sarvesha Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Labhati. Jnana Mishra Bhakti is like Brahma Bhuta Pasanatma Nasochati. You don't lament, you don't hanker, and when you come to this platform, then you come to devotional service. Or there's verses where it describes about austerity and you're not the body, etc. That's not devotional service in itself. The Mayavadis also describe you're not the body and do Sankhya. So you can do philosophical analysis and perform austerities. That's not bhakti. because that's in every spiritual path, even the paths that are not bhakti. But Jnana Mishra Bhakti is when after doing that, you detach yourself from the world to focus on Krishna. So that's also described in the Bhagavatam. But Jiva Goswami shows very clearly that even the sections where that's described, the ultimate recommendation is pure devotional service, which is just chanting and hearing and serving Krishna directly. After explaining what pure devotional service is and recommending pure devotional service, then it completes the Bhakti Sandarbha by showing that there are two ways to perform pure devotional service. You can do it out of spontaneous attraction, raghanuga, or you can do it out of an understanding of its correctness, out of adherence to the Shastra, out of your faith in Shastra. So now this particular section is describing Vaidhi Bhakti, and it's describing the different ways in which you can practice Vaidhi Bhakti. And therefore it begins with Sharanagata, taking shelter. You're taking shelter of Krishna out of the obligation and duty that this is the process mentioned in the scriptures.
It was a nice summary. Thank you.
What's that?
That was a very clear summary.
Well, yeah, thank you, Gail. This will be a little bit more of a systematic text, you know, okay, thank you. Thank you, Gail, for asking a question. Any other questions?
Maharaj?
Yeah.
Mahamuni, did you come humble basis?
Yeah.
I have a question about your explanation of Sharanagata.
Yeah.
You mentioned that one attitude that one tries to concentrate on while cultivating this quality is that it's taken care of. Whatever the situation out there is forcing upon me, if I understood it correctly, you were saying we turn to Krishna with the attitude that it's taken care of.
Yeah.
And I wanted to understand exactly what it means to say it's taken care of.
Yeah.
And it seems like one way to understand it is that the real issue is not this material circumstance. It's that the real issue is that I'm alienated from Krishna because of my improper mentality. So if I turn to Krishna, I'm dealing with the real issue, so that's taken care of. That's one way that I understood it. And it seems like another way is that my circumstance itself will be taken care of because Krishna will do what's best for everybody. And maybe there's other ways to understand it, but it wasn't clear to me.
Yeah, well, when it gets into the text itself, right, I'm trying to get back to that section if I can. Yeah, when it gets into the text itself and it describes each item, it says that this item that Rakshas, the Vishvasa, that you have faith that Krishna will protect you. Firm faith in Lord Krishna's protection is expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And then it gives a verse 3:16:37. Sri Bhagavan, who is the master of the three worlds and of the three qualitative aspects of material nature, will certainly act for my best interest. So that's what it means. It means that he'll do what's best, which may include solving my material problem, you know? But it may not include that, because that may not be what's best. But you have confidence that he'll do what's best. And what's ultimately best is to give you full happiness, which means to situate you on the platform of the soul, which is eternal and full of knowledge and full of bliss. So the devotee has full faith in every circumstance. The classic example of that was that devotee Bali. I always tell that story. You know, when he was in the taxi and he was driving, you know, he was a taxi driver and he became a devotee. He was listening to the radio and he heard Bhaktivedanta Swami speak. So he was in the taxi, and then Bhaktitirtha Swami told me this story personally. He got into the taxi, and he saw, like, the windshield had the... the windshield had the, you know, where, you know, like a rock came and it creates that, like, concentric circles of scattered glass or whatever it is, how that works. And he said, "What's that?" And Bali said to him, "You know, in the morning," he had that kind of nice southern accent, he said, "In the morning," he said, "someone came to my taxi and put a gun to me. You know, and he told me, 'Your money or your life.' And I looked at him and I told him, you know, 'If Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. And if Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you.'" You know? So that's the faith. The faith is, he had such faith. The faith is that Krishna is protecting you. And, you know, and therefore, what's best is going to happen. You know, so he didn't look at it like that person had jurisdiction over him. Krishna had jurisdiction over him. So it's the sense of both, in one sense, that he'll do ultimately what's best for me, and therefore I'm fully protected, which means that he can change. He's determining my circumstances also. And therefore, very, very often, devotees do find themselves protected in very, very difficult circumstances. But there's also instances where the devotee also gets killed. You know, but the faith is there that it's under Krishna's jurisdiction. And you feel that confidence when you have faith in Krishna. When you act, and when, you know, the faith comes from the Sharanagata, by actually surrendering to Krishna and taking shelter of Krishna, you begin to experience that within your life. You begin to experience that what he does is best, that you're actually protected. I give the example of my cousin, my uncle, actually, who was a chaplain, I told you, in World War II. And, you know, they saved everyone on that ship, the USS Dorchester, which was sunk. And particularly, my uncle was known for giving his own gloves and lifesaver and everything to everyone else, and even kind of lying to the people and saying, "No, I have another set." You know? Just, you know, they had so much faith in God. They had so much faith in the will of God, and they felt that their duty was to help others. Just, I marvel at it. They, you know, they, you know, I kind of think if it was me, we'd have a sannyas boat off first, you know. You know? Okay, all sannyasis on first, you know. But here, you know, the chaplains, the four chaplains of four denominations, they got everyone else off of the boat first. And that was their duty. And then when they died, people who lived and they were saved by them, I once went on the internet and I heard, like, testimonies, you know. I don't usually surf the web at all, but I was curious and I heard testimonies of these people whose lives were saved, you know, describing, you know, what they said to them, how they showed. And then when the ship went down, all four of them were just linked, like an arm to arm, singing the Psalms of David. You know, that's Sharanagata, you know. You know, my service to God, the will of God, the service to God, I am sheltered. I am protected. You know, and therefore there's no fear. Because there's no fear of death, because that's the eternal, you know, you realize that you're an eternal soul. Anyway, any other questions?
That was great, Marsh. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that. I think maybe this class will work out because it's a systematic study if I prepare, you know, which is, let's see. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, and everyone else.
Hey, Hari Kirtan.
Hari,
Hari.
Yeah, Hari Paul.
Thank you very much for a very nice class.
I was just thinking of you, because you know why?
Well, any reason will do.
Well, because I was cleaning up my, you know, I'm settling in, you know, in my place. I was like cleaning out all my books and taking things and packing, you know, just because I've just come to my room. And I got your fireman T-shirt that you gave me. The FDNY. That's why I was thinking of you.
Well, I'm glad that it is giving you pleasure.
But we'll have to get together.
I'm looking forward to it.
Soon. Haribo.
Haribo.
Just a little side information. Hari Kirtan is, I think, something in charge. It was in charge of the media for the FDNY, the fire department. They have a media department where they, their websites, filming, things like that. So he gave me what I always wanted, an FDNY authentic T-shirt. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, this is Kuldeep. We are looking forward to hear your association. And wanted to invite personally whoever is on the call.
Okay,
and
whoever
in the area.
Okay, who's ever on this call, who's in the area, at the site of the Panihati, the Bravo family, on this Sunday, they're having a 6-hour kirtan from 9 to 3, and many people are coming, and His Holiness Niranjan Swami and His Holiness Gunagrahi Maharaj will be there for the kirtan. I'm also invited. I will not do so much kirtan in the presence of such great souls, but at the end I will say something about the holy name, as I hope others also will. So, and I've already heard that many people are coming. If anybody is on the phone that's in the local area, that will be a nice program for them to attend. And Kula, if you can call me tomorrow about 10, I'll discuss when I come. Oh, you may be or anyway, call me sometime tomorrow.
Sure, Maharaj.
We'll discuss when I can come there, okay?
Okay, Maharaj. Thank you.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Maharaj, will you also be there on Saturday?
Yeah, why? Is there a program there Saturday?
I thought that you were going to be doing a program there on Saturday.
I think the program's on Sunday.
Yeah, I know there's one on Sunday, but originally, some Sundays ago, I thought you said that you were going to be doing one there on the 10th.
I thought initially it was on the 10th, and then they changed it to the 11th.
Oh, okay.
But if I find out some, they may be having like a local program someplace, but... The real program is on the 11th.
Okay.
Sunday, okay? Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Bo.
This is Shastra Das.
Shastra, I'm calling you tomorrow, okay? Can I talk to you? What's a good time to call you?
Any time is great.
Okay. I just kind of settled in, but that was on my mind.
Fine.
I'd like to touch base with you. The book is supposed to come on the 16th.
Wow.
But I think only 5 advance copies.
Wow.
By airmail. But at least we'll have something in hand, and then we can maybe at least one to send to Satsarup Marj to begin with, and then the rest, I guess to get shipped by may take a couple of months, but... And anyway, I'll call you tomorrow. I'd like to coordinate coming over there, you know?
Yes, Mars. Great.
Thanks.
Thank you. Master.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. We will end for today. Thank you all so much. Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Shindu Baeva Cha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo.